well do you think you do relationships? I mean, are you good at it? I mean, are you confident in the way you have relationships? Are your relationships deep? Are they intimate? Are they where you, you know, feel free to choose people and trust people who you've sat through and they're vulnerable with you and you're vulnerable with them? How do you do relationships? Do you look at relationships as more sort of intimate, or do you look at them simply as we have relationships for transactions to take place between us and them? Now, granted, transactions take place in every relationship. But if all you have is transaction, in other words, I get something from you and you get something from me and that's all it is, well, you don't have a whole lot of depth, do you? It's not just about that. It's knowing each other, being with each other. How well do you do relationship? You know, it's interesting. The reason I ask that question is because, you know, after being a priest for as many years as I have, which, man, I'm getting old, but the one thing, you know, I've never been with somebody on their deathbed who ever looked at me and said, "My God, I wish I'd spent more time at the office." You know, I've never heard anybody ever say, "Geez, I needed to make that last $200,000." I never heard anybody say, you know, like something to the effect of, you know, they needed to do something better. Almost everyone I've ever seen on their deathbed, at their last moments on this earth, if they know what's coming, it's always about, you know, I really love my spouse. I really love my children. I want to let them know that I love them. I want to know that it's there. You know, you think about it, that's all relationship. But if relationship's just based on a transaction, well, to tell you the truth, you may not have a whole lot of that in between. It may be, you know, supplier and producer. That's all it is. You know, when you look at the gospel we have today, it's an interesting story. Actually, I've been preaching on this gospel longer than I've been a priest, and it's an interesting story that I love. It's a story about Jesus coming into Jerusalem. It says that when he comes into Jerusalem, it's a festival, so that means there's a lot of people at Jerusalem at the time. What does he do when he comes in? He walks by a section by the sheep gate that has five porticos, and there's a pool there. Now, the belief on that pool is that when you're at that pool, if you get into the pool first, when you see it ripple, because the ripple comes from an angel who's passed over the pool, and that's why there's a ripple that's going in it, that if you have an infirmity, if you are lame or paralyzed or whatever, and you're first one into the pool, you get healed. And there's a man that's been lying next to this pool for quite a while. We know that he's been ill for 38 years. 38 years. I mean, that'd be chronic. For 38 years, and he's laying by the pool. And Jesus comes in and walks up to him as he lies next to the pool, and he says to him this: "Do you want to get well?" Well, you know, I mean, I don't know about you, but if I was like, I'd be like, duh, you know? What do you mean, do I want to get well? Yeah, I'm laying by the pool, not to catch sun, but, you know, I mean, I'm laying by the pool because I want to be first. But then the man says, after he asks, "Do you want to get well?" He says, "Well, I have no one to help me get into the pool. I can't get into the pool faster. Somebody always slides in ahead of me. Somebody always gets there first." What does Jesus say? Jesus looks at him and says, "Okay, rise, pick up your mat and walk. You don't need to get in the pool, basically." You know, it's interesting because that story is a real powerful story. And it makes me think about something that happened to me when I was much younger, back when I was in high school. When I was in high school, I lived in a town called Island, New Jersey, which many of you know that. And I lived in a place, and there was a girl that lived across the street. Her name was Susan. I lived in 31 West Francis Street. She lived in 34 West Francis Street. She had a mom and a dad and a sister who was older. And to be honest with you, she was about 4 years younger than me, and I had a crush on her probably since the first day I saw her. I never forget growing up, being they lived across the street. And Susan just, you know, I mean, she was beautiful. She looked exactly like Marcia Brady on the Brady Bunch. I mean, she was just gorgeous. And I wanted to date this girl. Now, at first, I was way too young for that, but I got to the place where, you know, I mean, by the time, you know, she was, you know, in the ninth grade, I was a senior in high school, and I still wanted to date her. This is how scary I was in those days. I had no self-confidence about, you know, women at all, and here I was, scary. I mean, some of the things I used to do probably would have been accused of stalking today, you know, but I would literally, if she had a date, which she dated, she was really good looking, and if she had a date, she would go out on a Friday night, and I'd wait outside in the front of my house, and I'd work on a surfboard, okay, so that I was cool, you know. And I would work on the surfboard, sanding the surfboard, till she got home from the date. Sometimes that was 10:30 or 11 o'clock at night. And here I am in the dark, sanding this surfboard in front of the house. And she'd look over at me like, "Hey, Jim." And I'm like, "Hi, Susan. Did you have a good time? Did you have fun? Oh, good, 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 good. Yeah, I got to go in." And I'm like thinking, you know, I'm this weirdo. But the truth of the matter is that, you know, even though I was a senior in high school and she was a freshman in high school, and, you know, I never asked her out. I never asked her out. I couldn't believe it. I never asked her out. You know, it's interesting because that gospel to me is all about a man who laid by a pool for 38 years. He had every reason in the world to figure out some way in let's say you only lay there for 10 years, to figure out somebody you could get him into the pool first. I don't know about you, if I was there and I wanted to get in the pool, I would have laid right next to it and just rolled over. You know? I would have gotten in that pool one way or other and beaten everybody else. I might have been throwing rocks at those other people as they tried to scramble it in. But I'd get in before they would if I was really disciplined to get in. But this man never got in. He never got in. And that's why Jesus looked at him. Do you really want to get well? Do you really want to get well? I got to ask you a question. Do you have an area in your life where you've had it for a lot of years that you want changed? You know it doesn't work for you. You know that, well, you know, this behavior just isn't really making me have a full life and having better relationships and whole marriage. But have you gotten there where it's, well, it's so familiar, I really don't know what I'd do without having it? The question that God, I think, would ask you is, do you want to get well? Do you want to commit to getting better? To commit to getting better means that you have to make that thing a priority, doesn't it? And yet, how many of us kick down the road the other priorities? I mean, we look at ourselves as, well, you know, I can do these other things well, you know. I mean, I might not be able to really have a relationship, but I can mow one heck of a lawn, you know. There's nobody that's better at edging than I am, you know. I mean, how many of us look at our work sometimes? Gentlemen, we are the worst at this. Our families sometimes, you know, are not real great. But, you know, we go to work every day, and we work hard, and we do a good job there. And, in fact, we're more at home at work than we are at home because we don't make that our priority. We don't make that our commitment. We don't work through things. We kick it all down the road and think somehow, well, you know, it's going to change. Or as I have done 1,000 times, we think somehow God is going to come out and go, you know, and it's going to be different. It doesn't work that way. Even in regards to where Jesus was 2,000 years ago, he went and he said to the man, do you want to get well? Do you want to get well? Do you want to get better? Especially in your relationships. Do you want to make them sort of the best they can be? Or do you want to make them just sort of what they are? Do you want to get beyond where you are and move to where you should be? To give a little bit more time, even if it's not familiar, even if it's uncomfortable. Do you want to go to that uncomfortable spot that really is probably healthier than the comfortable spot that you're sitting in? Because a lot of us sit in comfort and never want to move beyond where we are because, well, it's comfortable. I know who they are. I don't like them. They don't like me. I'm used to that. But that's not the way God created you to be. You know, I'll be up front with you. You know, when I got into college, in my sophomore year in college, you know, Susan ended up calling me. It was my sophomore year in college, and it was the end of the year. At this point, she's a junior in high school, and she called up, and she said to me on the phone, she said, "You know, Jim, I was wondering if you'd like to go to my junior prom with me." And I said, I immediately reverted back. Then she knew I was having a hard time, and she said, she goes, "You know, I always thought you were really cute." And I said, yeah, I am. You know? And she said, "You know, I just really want you to go to the junior prom with me." And I said, "Well, And I think sort of at that point she thought I was in meditation. You know, it was the late, the early 70s or something. But she... Then she said, "You know, I never understood why you didn't ask me out." She goes, "I never understood why you didn't ask me out. You know, I always thought that we knew each other. Our parents were friends. Our families were friends. You lived across the street from me. And you used to hang out in front of your house all the time at night when I came in. What was up with that?" I said, "It was cooler, you know." She said, "Will you go with me to the junior prom?" I said, "You know, I don't know. I mean, to be real upfront with you, at that point I was dating another woman, and, you know, and I really couldn't say yes." But when she said, "You know, I always wondered, again, why we never dated, because to tell you the truth, had we, I think we would have had a whole lot of fun together. We would have had a lot of adventure together." You see, it was a question of would I ask. For the man that was paralyzed for 38, it was a question of Jesus asking him finally to get him off his duff, to get him well. And then you have to respond by saying, "Well, you know, I really do want to get well." But for a lot of us, do we? Or are we more comfortable right where we are with broken relationships? You know what? How many times in your life have you ever had a broken relationship where all you had to do was call up and say, "Will you forgive me?" I'll be upfront with you, and I'll end with this story. I had a roommate when I first moved to Florida in 1980. We were in ministry together. We ended up getting caught on either side of a divorce of another one of our friends. I was friends with the wife, and he was friends with the husband. And it really got to the point where we weren't roommates anymore. We didn't speak. To be real upfront with you, we didn't speak from 1981 until about 2018. For that many years, there was no conversation. In 2018, he was at that point the head of Christian Surfers for the Southeast, and he was going to be in New Smyrna Beach. And he called me up after all those years, never speaking a word, never communicating at all. And he said to me, he said, "Hey, Jim, I'm going to be down in front of Quiet Place Surf Shop on Flagler. You want to come down over and pray?" And I was like, "Well, I can't right now. I'm having dinner with my wife." And I said, "But let me call you tomorrow." The moment he said that, something released inside of me, and I believe something inside of him. The next morning, I called him up. I said, "Pat, this is Jim Spencer. We haven't talked for, you know, 40 years almost. I said, before we get started, will you forgive me? I don't even remember what went on." And he goes, and I said, "If I did remember, I don't know that my details would be right." And then he said, "Well, before we go any further, will you forgive me? I can't remember either." We talk all the time now. It only took a little bit. It didn't take much. And to tell you the truth, even had we not become friends, had I asked for forgiveness, I would have been free. You see, relationship is really what life is all about, isn't it? It's relationship with God, relationship with yourself, relationship with each other. And yet, how many of us have that sort of impediment between us and somebody else that have kept us from life. It may not be something that, you know, you are comfortable with. God never called you to be comfortable. But God did call you to be at peace. And peace doesn't come from being comfortable. Peace comes from being forgiven and right with Him and doing the next right thing. You could be like the guy laying by the pool for 38 years. Or you can be like a person who trusts God and tries to make good on everything that they can and live in a different way and be free. As you come to the Eucharist this day, I pray that you come knowing this. God wants you well. God wants you full. God wants you to have relationships because they're the things that really last. God wants you and will help you through all those things to become the people that you are called to be. And enjoy life at every step, trusting in the living God. It's in the name of Jesus that we pray. Amen. Please stand with me.